واستعين واستغفره. أعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، this is continuation for our regular classes that we held every Tuesday to discuss and explain the book بلوغ المرام, the attainment of the objective. And today, inshallah, we still continuing or trying to finish Kitab al-Hudud. And this is class number 12 in album number 5. So inshallah, this is supposed to be the last class for the 5th album, and possibility that we may finish Al-Hudud, which we had started last week. And last week we spoke about the prescribed punishment for adultery and fornication. So we still continuing with the prescribed punishment, but for a different crime. Today, inshallah, we want to talk about the prescribed punishment for false accusation, or what you call it in Islam, qadhf. And al-qadhf means to throw something very hard, like somebody hold a stone and throw it hard. This you call qadhf. And they talk this terminology to utilize it for somebody who accusing somebody because he's like throwing something on him falsely. So by throwing these words on the person, this you call it in Sharia, you call it qadhf. Okay, and the qadhf, that means a person to accuse a man or a woman and they are not able to bring they are not able to bring witnesses, the required number of witnesses for this. So in this case, this will call that this man had commit a qadhf, that mean he had accused the person wrongly. And inshallah, today, and maybe try to go a little bit faster so we can finish. So when Bab al-Hudud, so when we start next week, inshallah, we have a new chapter, which is a chapter concerning jihad, inshallah. So the first hadith, which hadith number 49 after the first thousand, this is page number 437. عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت لما نزل عذري قام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على المنبر فذكر ذلك وتلا القرآن فلما نزل أمر برجلين وامرأة فضرب الحد أخرجه أحمد الأربعة وأشار إليه البخاري. This hadith in the collection of Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawood, Al-Tirmidhi, Al-Nasa'i, and Ibn Majah. The hadith classified to be Hassan means good. The hadith reported by Aisha, and she relating to us concerning the verdict when it came concerning her accusation. As we understand that Aisha, wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, been accused with illegal intercourse, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had clarified her and profiled her from this accusation. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before this revelation came to him, he was in very big agony and sorry, and disturbing him and his family and the believers. And finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Quran to clarify Aisha and to show that what she been accused with is not correct. And if I'm not mistaken, this was Surah An-Nur. And so when this surah came and have the verses related to Aisha, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he climbed the pulpit, the member, similar to what we have, okay, and he recited these verses to the believers. And after he recited these verses, that two men and a woman belashed the prescribed punishment for this. And the prescribed punishment for accusation wrongfully with adultery and fornication is 80 lashes. So these two of the Sahaba, as well this woman from the Sahaba also, after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the verses, they been lashed, each person 80 lashes. And although that the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, can make mistakes, they can commit a sin, but still that they are the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the people who carry this religion, protect it, believe in it, and transfer it to us. And the Sahaba, they have enough good deed and enough hasanat for their sins to be forgiven inshallah, and to be from the people of paradise. And it's not for any believer who believe in Allah and the day of judgment to have hatred against any of the Sahaba. And the love of the Sahaba is a sign of faith, and that we shouldn't talk about them in any ill manner, regardless whatever they said or they did, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who sees their action, and He is the one that can reward them or forgive them for what they did. And as we explained before concerning the woman who had committed the adultery or the fornication, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lashed the hair, and after he stoned her to death, he performed janazah prayer on her. Okay? So the sin that been done by the Sahaba does not take him out of the title and the position of being a Sahabi. And we still say radiallahu anhum, that may Allah be pleased with them. And this is from the aqeedah of the people of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. May Allah make us among them inshallah. The next hadith which reported by Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, qal awwalu li'an kana في الإسلام أن شريك ابن سحمان قذفه هلال ابن أمية بامرأته، فقال له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم البينة، وإلا فحد في ظهرك. The hadith reported by Anas ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with him. And the hadith classified to be authentic. The hadith in the collection of Abu Ya'la, and that talking about the first li'an, which is the cursing, to invoke the curse of Allah upon yourself if you are accusing your wife wrongly. Okay, and we studied li'an before. Okay, so li'an, that a man going to swear by Allah that his wife had commit illegal intercourse, and as a result for him not to be whipped, and as a result of him not to take the punishment, he have to swear 4 times by Allah that she is a liar and that she did such a thing. And the fifth one, he's going to say that may the curse of Allah be upon him if he is a liar, and also for her not to be lashed or stoned, she will do the same thing, and she will swear by Allah 4 times, and the fifth time she will say what? That the curse of Allah be upon her if she is a liar, or if he is a truthful about what he accused her. So the first li'an that happened in Islam was that Shariq ibn Sahma been accused by Hilal ibn Umayyah that he had slept with his wife. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told him that you have to bring your witnesses or otherwise will be a had, will be a punishment. Okay, that you have to come with a bayina, something clear cut evidence. You have to come with 4 witnesses that they saw the act, otherwise what's going to happen, that will be a had. Why here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him that will be a had or punishment, you will receive punishment in on your back, because he had accused the man, he didn't accuse his wife directly. You see, because if he accused his wife, he didn't mention anything about the man, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will what? Have a li'an between him and his wife. But he had accused the man, so indirectly that his wife also been accused, but indirectly. So the case here between 2 men. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to him, now you have to go ahead and bring witnesses, 4 witnesses, or otherwise you're going to be lashed 80 lashes. From this 2 previous hadith, we understand that a man who accused his wife with illegal intercourse, he have to come with witness. Okay, the bayina, the evidence. The evidence is 4 men. Alright? Now, if he could not, that he will be lashed 80 lashes. Now, otherwise, that the li'an, the cursing, will be taking place between him and his wife, and as a result of this, he's not going to be lashed. But after this, what's going to happen between the 2 people who curse each other, the 2 people who invoke the curse upon themselves, they will be separated. They could not continue as a husband and wife. Now, if a person accused somebody else's wife, you could not have li'an between them, But in this case, that he will come with four witnesses or he will be lashed. The next hadith, hadith 51 after the first thousand, page number 438, عن عبد الله ابن عامر ابن ربيعة قال لقد أدركت أبا بكر وعمر وعثمان ومن بعدهم فلم أرهم يضربون المملوك في القذف إلا أربعين. This hadith reported by Abdullah ibn Amir, and the hadith is the collection of Imam Malik. The hadith is authentic, and this hadith, it shows us that the punishment, prescribed punishment, the had for the slave is half from the free person, which is going to be 40 lashes. The next hadith, hadith number 52 after 1000, reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith is authentic, which is the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam قال من قذف مملوكه يقام عليه حد يوم القيامة إلا أن يكون كما قال. Okay, that whosoever accuse his slave, okay, whosoever accuse his slave with illegal intercourse, that the had or the capital punishment will be taken place on the master on the day of a judgment. So we understand firstly that it's not supposed for anybody, regardless if a slave or a master, to accuse anybody wrongfully, okay? But if it happened and the master had accused his slave with illegal intercourse, we could not practice had on them in this life. And if the master is truthful about what he said, so that the punishment will be fallen in him on the day of judgment. Not that we saying that is okay to do this, it is still a crime, it is wrong in Islam, but you could not practice had and punishment on the master due to the fact that he had accused his slave. Now we go to a new chapter concerning hudud also, and this is a prescribed punishment by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for stealing. This is page number 439. This hadith number 53 after the first thousand, reported by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with him, that she said Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam la tuqta'u yadu sariqin إلا في ربع دينار فصاعدا. متفق عليه. This hadith is authentic, reported by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, that first the prescribed punishment for the thief, okay, is what? The cutting of the hand. The cutting of the hand. And this hadith is to show us that when is the hand to be cut, that the amount, the hadith here is talking about the amount that the hand can be cut in it, which is 1/4 of dinar. So the minimum is 4 dinar, which comes to be explained in the next hadith, that 3 dirham, okay? حديث نمبر 54 that son of Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, reported this hadith. The hadith also is authentic that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had cut the hand or practiced the prescribed penalty for theft concerning a thief who had stolen a shield worth of 3 dirham. Okay? Worth of 3 dirham. And as I said, the hadith is authentic. Now the next hadith, 55 after 1000, reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, that qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, la'an Allahu as-sariqa yasriqu al-bayda fatuqta'u yaduhu wa yasriqu al-habla fatuqta'u yadahu. Okay? Although most of the scholars of Islam, they said, some of them, they said, they went to buy a zahir, like Imam Ibn Hazm. He went according what is the statement of the hadith actually saying, that if a person steal an egg, okay, that his hand would be cut. If he steal a robe, his hand would be cut, okay? But most of the scholars, they understood the hadith to be showing how silly it is that a person sacrifice his hand for something has no value, like an egg or a rope. Okay? And you know that if somebody transgress against somebody and he cut his hand, as example, or break his arm, that the penalty, the blood money, how much?
50
camel, which approximately about
50,000.
Let's say at least $50,000. So now if he go and steal something which has no value, like an egg, okay, something like $5-$10 as example, okay, now he's losing his hand for something about $5-$6. It doesn't make sense, okay? So now he's sacrificing a part of his body for something that has no value, something like an egg, like a robe, okay? Or that stealing an egg and a robe and all the things that has no value, it will lead him eventually, okay, to go and steal something that has a value of 3 dirham or 1/4 of dinar. Okay? The next hadith number 556, after the first 1000, page number 440, وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أتشفع في حد من حدود الله تعالى ثم قام فخطب فقال أيها الناس إنما أهلك الذين من قبلكم أنهم كانوا إذا سرق فيهم الشريف تركوه وإذا سرق فيهم الضعيف أقاموا على الحد. متفق عليه. The hadith is authentic. This hadith is part of a longer hadith. And what happens that a woman from the tribe of Makhzum, excuse me, had stole something in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the people, her tribe, they were so disturbed because they know now that this woman, her hand will be cut, and this will be like an embarrassment for the whole tribe, because everybody will see this woman with no hand, and now they're going to know that this woman stolen, and this is one of the noble tribes among the Arabs, okay, from Bani Makhzum. So they will try to find a way to waver this punishment. So finally they thought about somebody go and try to intercede before the Prophet and ask him to let it go. So they said, which one can go to the Prophet? So finally they decided to ask Usama ibn Zayd, okay, due to the fact that he is so dear to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loves him a lot. So when Usama ibn Zayd, he went and asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to waver this punishment, if it's by let it go or paying some money, whatever it is. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was angry at him and he said to him, are you interceding in concerning one of the prescribed punishments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had laid down? Like, how come you can do something like this? This is not, you understand, a simple matter. This is something been prescribed by Allah. Doesn't matter whosoever did it, okay? Wrong is wrong, okay? And after this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stood up and he gave khutbah. And from what he said in the khutbah, ayyuha nas, O mankind, indeed what had caused destruction to the people before you, that when the honorable person among them steal, they will let him go. But when the weak one commits a crime, they will punish him. Okay? And in continuation for this hadith is not written here, he's saying that indeed I swear by Allah, if Fatima, daughter of Muhammad, stole, Muhammad will cut her hand. That means the law go to everybody. Okay? There is nothing called a honorable person or high class people or rich people, educated people. Everybody before Islam is equal. Doesn't matter your background, your color, your language. You do wrong, you get your punishment, okay? To such a degree that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you people do this, that what happened to the nations before you will happen to you, destruction will happen. Why? Because the honorable person among them, when he steal, they let it go. But if the weak one do it, now they punish him. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indeed, if my own daughter Fatima herself did this, I have no choice except to cut her hand. Next hadith. So from this hadith we understand that Islam believe in equality among all the Muslims, especially concerning capital punishment. Necessity of establishing the capital punishment to save the ummah and the community from destruction. That is not permissible for anybody to intercede concerning the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next hadith, which hadith 57, after the 1000, reported by Jabir radiallahu ta'ala an, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, laysa ala khain, wala mukhtalis, wala muntahid, qata, rawa Ahmad, wal arba'a. This hadith in the collection of Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawood, At-Tirmizi, An-Nasai, Ibn Majah, Ibn Hibban. The hadith is authentic, reported by Jabir, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that is no cutting of the hand concerning these three people, the one who betrayed and the person who deceive or the person who take it by force. Okay? Because those three people be classified different from a thief. Because the condition of what you call thief and stealing, that you have the property or whatever it is, money, gold, alaykum salam, jewelry, anything that has a value, that you have it in something similar to what we call nowadays a safe, okay? But there are certain things you don't put it in a safe box, okay? Like as example, a cow. I don't know about a box, you understand, to put a cow in it, okay? So if somebody have a special room, I forgot what they call it.
A barn.
Oh,
that's where you put a cow.
The barn. Okay. It's like a special room, okay? At night they take the cattle and put them inside, okay? So now, and you put a lock on it as example, or even if this lock supposed to be wooden lock, old locks, I don't know if Omar get to see it or no, okay? Not these things with combination and all these things. It used to be like a big 2x4 and put it across the door, and so this consider is safe, that the animal is not going to escape out of it, okay? And this is considered the best way that you can secure it. Or that you put in a fence with
a corral.
Crown?
Corral.
My dictionary, I didn't bring it. But no, what you call this, they put now electric, they call it electric fence or something like this, okay? And this is the way how they keep the animals, because as soon come to the fence, it gets a small electric shock and goes back. So if somebody jumps this and opens this lock and go, now he getting it. It's different from a person leave it in an open field. Open field now is a different, okay? Putting it inside this room, now this is called safe. The money can be in a safe, okay? Your jewelry, if you take it and you have a special box, okay, you don't have it in front of the kids. Now this is called a safe. So if somebody go and open the door or open this box or break the combination, whatever it is, now this go, or like they do it nowadays now on the computer, okay, and they can steal all this money from the bank while they're sitting home, okay, through the computer. So the money or the value, it have to be in a safe. So if somebody go and get it out of this safe, now this called a thief, and he's hiding. Like a person who betrayed, he's not taking something out of the safe, okay? He deceived you while he's doing the money. Or he wait until you look the other side, okay, and he took something out of it. So those people in Islam, they will be punished, but not by cutting the hand, okay? They have another punishment, right, Amani? They have a different punishment, not the punishment of cutting the hand. So these three people, I don't know, in Blazer, or I don't know how, and Luther, you know what it is. You can read the Hadith 57 after 1000, reported by Jabir, for yourself to know what I'm talking about. Next Hadith, Hadith number 58 after the first 1000, page number 441. عن رافع بن خديج رضي الله تعالى عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لا قطع في ثمر ولا في كثر. This hadith is authentic, reported by رافع, that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم saying also no cutting of the hand concerning fruits that on the tree. Somebody passing by a field and pulled some grapes and ate it, okay? This is not a safe, alright? Walking by the field and stop by and pull a apple, this, you could not call this stealing, okay? Same thing applied to the palm trees. This is not considered a stealing, except if the person now bring, you understand, his car, stop there, open the trunk, okay, and start to load, okay. Now this will be a different story now, okay. وعن أبي أمية المخزومي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال أتي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بلص قد اعترف اعترافا ولم يوجد معه متاع فقال له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما أخالك سرق قال بلى فأعاد عليه مرتين أو ثلاثة فأمر به فقطع وجيء به فقال استغفر الله. This hadith was going to leave it alone due to the fact this hadith is weak. The next hadith after this, which is another narration in page number 442, started by Al-Hakim reported. Okay, do you see this?
Yeah.
Okay, this is another version of the hadith. The hadith also here is not authentic, but will be authentic as a mursal. Okay, as a mursal, that means the what you call the tabi'i had related it from the sahabi. This will be authentic. But the main issues here, which is the meaning is correct, okay, that a person after the cutting of his hand, it has to be treated in a special way so the blood does not continue flowing, and after this he will die, okay. They have a different ways, okay, it depends on what country, what kind of methods, but one of them, as example, to take the hand and put it in boiling oil, okay, which will stop the blood immediately, okay? Yeah, like a frying pan, exactly. He brought it for himself, nobody asked him to, nobody told him to steal, okay? But the main thing here is that he say take him away and cut off his hand, then
cauterize
him, okay? That means make some kind of a treatment to the hand to stop the bleeding. If you're going to do stitches, if you're going to put some chemicals, whatever it is, so the
cauterizing is a red hot iron.
Okay, the main thing that the punishment not to become a to lead to something more beyond the cutting of the hand. Okay, so now they start bleeding, and after this the heart stop, and after this he die. Now this is beyond what Allah had prescribed. Okay, this is the reason that Allah had prescribed a certain punishment, and this is what he get for it. Hadith number 60 or 1060 or 60 after the first thousand, which way that you want to read it, this hadith is weak, we're going to leave it alone. Go to 61 after the first thousand, reported from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhuma عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه سئل عن التمر المعلق فقال من أصاب فيه من ذي حاجة غير متخذ خبنة فلا شيء عليه ومن خرج بشيء منه فعليه الغرامة والعقوبة ومن خرج بشيء منه بعد أن يؤويه الجرين فبلغ ثمن المجد فعليه القطع. Okay, so this hadith is Hassan. in the collection of Imam Abu Dawood and Nasa'i, reported by Abdullah ibn Amr, the hadith is good, acceptable, that a person who eats from the fruits, okay, hanging on the tree, this not stealing, okay? If he carry with him something, now he will be chastised for this, a punishment, okay? It can be by jailing, it can be by spanking, it can be by paying money, okay? But if he get it after been bought in the house, okay, and what he took is equal to fourth of dinar, okay, the place where it is dried and it is amount of price, okay, now he will be, his hand will be cut off. Why? Because as long as in the tree, still a different story, okay, it's not in what in the safe. But now when the farmer come and cut the fruits and take it, put it in boxes, and now take it and go to nowadays, as example, the freezer, okay, put it in the freezer, lock the door, now the fruits inside, now somebody and go and open this freezer and take these fruits out of it. If he took a amount which is equal to fourth of dinar, let's say as example about $7-$8, okay, now his hand will be cut off. What about if he stopped by and ate due to hunger or whatever it is? No blame. But if he takes some with him in the car, okay, now if he caught, he will be punished for it. But if he go and get it from the storage place, now this is a different story, his hand can be cut off for this. Next hadith, hadith in page number 443. Am I going too fast? I will leave enough time, I'm sorry, because I'm trying to cover this chapter tonight, so next week we'll have a new chapter. But if I'm going too fast, inshallah, after we finish, anything is not clear, I can get back to it. Page number 443, hadith 62 after 1000, 62 after the first 1000, عن صفوان ابن أمية رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال له لما أمر بقطع الذي سرق رداءه فشفع فيه هل كان ذلك قبل أن تأتيني به. Okay, hadith is authentic. The hadith is authentic. This hadith is a collection of Imam Abu Dawood, An-Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, and Al-Hakim. This man had stole the bed, okay, Safwan ibn Umayyah came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and informed him about this other man who had stole his soap, okay, he stole his garment. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was preparing to cut the man's hand, he said, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was about to cut the man's hand, so Safwan asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to pardon the man. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told him, why you didn't do this before bringing him to me? That means when the crime presented to the judge or the ruler or the head of the state, it's too late to pardon somebody, even if you are the person who has the right. Even if you are the person that has the right. You know what I mean by you have the right? Huh? Even if you are the owner of this right, okay? You could not pardon. If somebody want to pardon somebody, this have to be before be taken to the court. Because the moment that you take it to court, the moment you take it to the ruler, is out of your hand. Is out of your hand. Can a person pardon somebody? Yes, he can. Okay? Because he took your right. He took your property. If you want to forgive him, you can forgive him. If you want to take him to the Islamic court, you take him to the Islamic court. Alright? Although still the person commit another sin, because Allah forbids stealing. Because in stealing there is two rights involved. The right of Allah and the right of the human being. Okay? So okay, I'm sorry, here, this is your stuff back. But still that you did something that's been forbidden by Allah. But this been left up to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may forgive the person in the day of judgment for it, okay? But if the person does not want to forgive and take it to the ruler or the judge, it's too late after he present his case to try to come and say, okay, I pardon the person. Next hadith, which is 63 after the first 1000, okay, which reported by Jabir, the hadith we're going to leave it alone. The hadith is weak, although that some of the scholars they said that is Hasan Lighayri, is good as a result of other narration. It boosts it up a little bit and make it good. But the hadith itself is not good by itself. Okay? But basically, if you want to understand the hadith, that the thief that been brought before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, kill him. They said, O Prophet of Allah, he stole. He didn't kill. He says, so cut his hand. Okay? So he stole again, he said, cut his hand. He stole again, he said, cut his hand. Third time, they say, kill him. Okay? Now, the scholars, first, as I said, some of the scholars, they said the hadith has a defect. We could not utilize it. Some of them, they said the hadith is hasal ghayri, and that even if we accept this hadith, you know that we have a general ruling with hadith which is more authentic than it, that لا يحل دم امرئ مسلم إلا بثلاث, that the blood of a Muslim is sacred only in three conditions, okay? We know this is the ruling, that the blood of the Muslim is sacred, could not be killed except in three conditions. Is the stealing one of the conditions? No. Sister Zainab, what is this? One of the conditions.